Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is about that time yet again. You are now locked into WKAR's current sports. We are coming to you on this Friday. Or as I like to say, Fry-yay. The weekend is near. It's going to be a snowy one, though. I want you guys to be safe this weekend because Saturday we will be getting some good old Michigan winter snow. All right, be safe on the roads this weekend. But before we get there, you are now embarking on your favorite hour in your weekday, hopefully. Right? Live here on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. A lot to get to on today's current sports. We are, of course, going to dive into tonight's Michigan State men's basketball game as the Spartans prepare to play host to the Wisconsin Badgers. Michigan State is trying to put in the rearview mirror what happened on the road last weekend against Purdue on Sunday. I know that was pretty tough to watch. It was certainly an eyesore, but Michigan State returns to the Breslin and will play a pretty good Badgers team. This Badgers team is no slouch. All right, we'll preview that matchup for you guys. Also, I, like many of you, am very excited about the weekend that will be in the world of the National Football League as we have conference championship games to discuss. You will get our thoughts and predictions on the two matchups, both of those matchups, taking place this Sunday. Jack Kerwin behind the glass. Jack, I have a question. You know, I brought this up earlier this week. In the past, usually when they have the conference championship games, don't we see one played on Saturday and the other played on Sunday? They've both been on Sunday?
No, they've always, they've always both been on Sunday.
Really?
Yeah, as far as I can remember. Yeah, Divisional Sunday and Wild Card Weekend are both 2-2, but then Championship Sunday is two games back-to-back.
Huh. I really wish they split it up. You know, get a nice game on Saturday and a nice game to end your Sunday.
We'll look at it this way. When you got both games on Sunday, you just got to get your obligations out of the way on Saturday, and then you can enjoy a Sunday full of football. This exact weekend, Championship Sunday,
right.
Your Sunday is your Saturday, and your Saturday is your Sunday. So you got to do your work on Saturday, and then when Sunday rolls around, you watch two big football games, and you don't have to worry about anything else.
That's true. Yeah, just make sure you get everything done that you need to get done on Saturday, I guess, right? Which is tough, though, because of the weather that we'll be getting here in Michigan. But I totally catch your drift on that. So, yeah, 3 p.m. kickoff and a 6:40 p.m. kick time for Game 1 and Game 2. So we'll talk some NFL football, Titans, Chiefs, Packers, 49ers. And then on the back end of the show, we will have Reflection Friday for you all as we get to a few stories that we didn't get a chance to highlight, a few that we did that we may want to elaborate on. All right, it has certainly been a busy, busy week here on WKAR's Current Sports. Multiple ways in which you can join the fun. Pick up that phone and dial 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. You can watch the live stream there. It's up and running. Comment below that video. And again, you can also weigh in courtesy of Twitter. Tweet the show at WKAR News or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. You know what's next, though. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners.
All right, let's start here with the MSU women's basketball team as sophomore guard Nia Clowden in her old-fashioned three-point play with 14 seconds remaining led Susie Merchant's Michigan State women's basketball team past Ohio State. The final was 68-65. Talk about clutch. Last night, inside of the friendly confines known as the Breslin Center, Clowden also hit a pair of free throws with 6 seconds left to seal the deal on the win. Now, the Spartans have won 2 straight games for the first time since November, improving to 10-7 overall, 3-3 in the Big Ten Conference. Ohio State falls to 10-7 on the year, also 3-3 in conference play, so identical records there. Clowden scored 20 points for the second straight game, adding 6 assists as well. Redshirt junior forward Madrika Cook was the only other MSU player in double figures with 10 points, 8 of which came in the fourth. Senior guard Taryn McCutcheon tied a season high with 7 assists. So a big win for Susie Merchant and her team last night. A thrilling victory that, again, went down to the wire. Nia Clowden, totally clutch. All right, and tonight, the Breslin will be doing back-to-back duty, seeing as though Michigan State men's basketball will play host to the Wisconsin Badgers. Tip time for that one at 7 p.m. Michigan State sitting at 13-4 on the year, still leading the Big Ten Conference. Wisconsin sitting at 11-6 on the season. And I hope to see many of your smiling faces tonight because I'll be doing some double duty along with covering that game. I will be your MC of the President's Reception around 4 p.m. inside of the Breslin Center. I'm really looking forward to that. Tom Izzo will be receiving a really cool honor. We'll be presenting him with something special. Also, Michigan State President Samuel Stanley will be in the house. I'm introducing him as well as Michigan State Athletic Director Bill Beekman. So I am looking forward to that. If you see me, say hello. All right. Okay. The Michigan men's basketball team is in action tonight as well on the road as Juwan Howard and the Wolverines will travel to Iowa to take on the Iowa Hawkeyes. The Wolverines, the number 19 team in the nation, sitting at 11-5 on the season. Tip time for that one is scheduled for 9 p.m. And also the Michigan State hockey team, the 20th ranked Spartans, start the second half of the Big Ten schedule by visiting Wisconsin tonight at 9 p.m. You can catch that one on ESPNU. And also tomorrow at 8 p.m., Michigan State and Wisconsin squared off at MUN last month, December 7th and December 8th, with the Spartans winning both of those games 3-0 in that first game. And then that second one was close and thrilling, 5-4 in overtime. Again, both of those wins in favor of the Spartans. After a split at home against Minnesota last weekend, the Spartans are 7-4-1-0 in league play and remain tied with Ohio State for second place in the Big Ten Conference with 22 points. 2 points behind conference-leading Penn State, MSU enters the weekend 16th in the pairwise rankings. Also, if you care, I know they're a bad team, but hey, we got to let you guys know whenever they play. All right, the Pittsburgh Penguins will play at Little Caesars Arena against your Detroit Red Wings. Puck drop for that one scheduled for 7:30 p.m. The Winged Wheel trying to improve on that 12-32-3 record. And to another bad professional sports franchise in Detroit, the Detroit Pistons will be in action tomorrow as they hit the road to take on the Atlanta Hawks. Tip time for that one scheduled for 7:30 p.m. as well. And I can't wait for this. Conference championship weekend. We'll know which two teams will be heading to Miami to play in the Super Bowl after the dust settles on Sunday night. The Tennessee Titans will play at the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday at 3:05 p.m. That game will kick off on CBS. Right now, the spread reads 7.5 in favor of the Chiefs. And in game 2, the Green Bay Packers will be on the road to take on the San Francisco 49ers. That one will be a 6:40 p.m. kick time. You can catch that one on Fox. And right now, that spread reads also 7.5 in favor of the 49ers. And, you know, I was at the barbershop this morning, and my barber, you know, made me incredibly jealous because him and his son will be traveling to San Francisco tomorrow afternoon because they landed tickets to that Packers and 49ers matchup. So I'll be looking for him on TV.
Are they Niners fans?
They are.
Interesting.
Like diehard Niners fans. They're kind of like me, you know, grew up in Michigan. But
yeah.
You got to have that second team because we live in a state where we have the Detroit Lions as our professional sporting franchise in the National Football League. So that was their second team.
Yeah, because of like Joe Montana and Jerry Rice, I presume.
I could see that.
Yeah.
You know, Jerry Rice and Montana, you know, what they did back in the day was certainly special. So, they are diehard 49ers fans. So they'll be heading to that one. That's going to be a nice trip. Okay, and Jack, correct me if I'm saying this name wrong, but Conor McGregor, not that name, of course, is taking on Donald Cerrone. I believe that's how you say his last name.
I believe so, or Cerrone, yeah. I'm not a big McGregor guy. I don't really...
What? You're not a big Conor McGregor guy?
No, I used to before he kept getting beat over and over again, but I've never followed UFC very closely, to be honest with you.
Gotcha, you're not a big fight fan.
No, I mean, I actually could probably get back into boxing. I've never really been in it in my life, like, been interested in it, but, like, with Deontay Wilder and Anthony Joshua, like, boxing appears to be kind of back on the uptick, even though it had been kind of down my entire life with really only Mayweather being good, and Mayweather's really boring to watch, if we're being honest. So
boring.
Yeah, so, I mean, I might get back into boxing. I was thinking about it, like, yesterday, that in the future that might be something I'd pay attention to, but no, UFC, I've never really cared.
Yeah, well, there are some really intriguing figures and some really good, I think, fighters that will go down in history as some of the greatest of all time today in 2020 in both the UFC and in boxing. I'm a big fight fan because of my late great grandfather. We used to watch fights on Friday night and Saturday night all the time. But I totally hear where you're coming from. I think it's on an uptick right now. There are some really intriguing fighters in both sports. And Conor McGregor, more so, not just for the wins that he accrued in the octagon, but he, you know, he's a great personality. You know, you got to love Conor McGregor's personality. He is not afraid to speak his mind, to talk trash. And for the most part, he has backed it up. All right. Spoiler alert, but coming in the intro, a very revealing interview that shows that I think Conor McGregor he's growing up a little bit, but he's back. I love the dude. He's a great talent, and he has such a mouthpiece on him.
Why do you think he's grown up? Let me ask you that.
Just looking at his demeanor. You know,
yeah,
what he
I understand.
Said about,
I understand. But why do you think he's changed his ways?
Because I've never heard him speak.
No, but why has he started speaking differently?
Because of all the mess he's been involved. It's a wake-up
call. And because he's been losing, right?
That, too. It'll humble you. Losing will humble you.
Yeah, that was what I was getting at. When he was on top of the world, you never heard this stuff from McGregor. That was all I was getting at.
Yeah,
he's lost, like, his last two fights, yeah.
Sometimes you need to be humble, Jack. I mean, because when you lose, what does that affect? That affects the cheese you take home, all right? And once you start looking at your finances and they aren't what they used to be, that'll make you wake up a little bit as well. But McGregor, he's back after losing to Khabib Nurmagomedov back in October of 2018. McGregor, he returns to the octagon to again face. He's a fan favorite, Donald Cerrone. The main card will start at 10 p.m., I believe. That's tomorrow night, January 18th. And, you know, you've got about, like, four cards on that fight before McGregor and Cerrone enter the octagon. So
that don't matter, if we're being honest.
Yeah, I'm going to watch them all. I'm just a fight fan, so I love watching all of those.
Fair enough.
Especially Holly Holm. Holly Holm will be in action as one of those undercard fights. So the rest of the fighters who are on that undercard, I have no idea who they are. But Holly Holm will take on Raquel Pennington. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. UFC 246 underway tomorrow, January 18th. All right, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That's the number to call if you would like to weigh in, give your take on NFL Conference Championship Weekend, how do you think Michigan State will respond after that road loss to Purdue on Sunday, as they will play host to Wisconsin tonight at 7 p.m. Would love to hear your thoughts on that or anything that is on your sporting mind. All right, go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. Many of you watching and weighing in there already. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News.
Liquid in this camp. Nothing. Mm-hmm. When's the last time you had a drink?
A couple of months ago, four months ago, maybe. Yeah.
Is that a first for you, or at least first in a while?
I was drinking on Bleeding Fight Week last one, I think. It was on the Conan O'Brien show.
Yes.
Abra, I mean.
Prior to the Khabib fight.
Yeah.
Mm. You were drinking in the build-up.
Mm. Yeah. Mm.
Was that common for you in your career?
Not really. Not to that extent. No. Not to that extent.
Why'd you do that?
I don't know. I had just venom in me or something. I don't know why. I had people hold up in a hotel from that part of the world, and I would ring and arrange a fight, so they would come from the hotel down to the gym and have a full blown fight, no head guard, gloves, that's it, like a fight. I'd win, you know. I'd have a war and I'd win. I'd knock the guy out, and then I'd go off and celebrate, and then I'd come back in 3 days.
3 days. What were you doing?
You know, just, I don't know, not doing what I should have been doing.
Celebrating, partying?
Just, I don't know, just not living the life that I should be living, and that's it. Right. So I'm not going back there, you know what I mean? I'm in a great spot now, and that's it. And I've made mistakes, and, you know, I've been man enough to admit them.
Again, that was Conor McGregor and a sit down he did with ESPN. And that's what I mean, Jack. I mean, you listen to Conor talk about, you know, his ups and downs. I mean, in the fights and bars, you know, and then the whole WWE like situation with the bus where he throws an object at the bus and the glass shatters. Yeah, he's been humbled and You can tell. He did not allow any liquor in his camp at all. He hasn't had a drink in a long time. But, you know, he opened up there and talked about how he was drinking leading up to fights. Yeah, that will give you some losses. That will certainly add some L's to that record. So I just wanted to play that for you guys, for all of the fight fans out there and listeners of the show who enjoy UFC and boxing. Shout out to my man Ron De Leon. I see you, Ron. I'm sure he's got some thoughts on that fight, right? The great Ron De Leon, the man when it comes to local fight promoting here in Lansing.
We'd love to hear from him this hour, right? As long as he's not busy driving.
If he's not on the road right now, because his day job, when he's not putting on spectacular showcases here in the Lansing area in the world of boxing and mixed martial arts. His day job is a bus driver, and everybody's favorite bus driver. Ron is such a dynamic personality. I love that dude, man. He's a brother from another mother. So, yeah, Ron, if you're listening, man, would love to get your take on that fight. Should be a fun night. I'm looking forward to seeing McGregor back in the ring. Also seeing many comments come in on our Facebook page. So before I proceed, I've been seeing this a lot on my social media page. You know, it's like a little family on our Facebook live stream. Regulars who watch the show on the Facebook live stream day after day. And just like many of you listeners out there who listen to the show day after day, I constantly get calls. I got one earlier this week saying, Al, I listen to you every single day, man. Keep up the good work. I really appreciate that. You guys have no idea. But it has become a family here at WKAR's Current Sports. And I want to send out my condolences. I've seen this throughout the week on our Facebook live stream and on my Facebook timeline. But I'm thinking of the Grimes family. So Ben, Stephanie, and AJ, as well as Chris. I saw that you guys had a big loss, a major loss this week. So I want to extend my thoughts and prayers to you guys. All right. So I wanted to say that before I proceed and go on to less important matters as we dive into some sports talk. And also, I see Chris giving a prediction on the two teams who will be in the Super Bowl in Miami, Jack. And I'm spoiler alert. I know we're talking about this after the first break, but I agree with Chris. This is like the obvious pick. I think it's going to be 49ers and Chiefs, just like Chris says. Do you disagree with that at all? I think they're going to be tight games, but I think the 49ers and the Chiefs are the superior teams when looking at these two matchups.
Yes, those are the two teams I have advancing to the Super Bowl as well. Let me ask you this, though.
Yeah.
Which game do you think has the greater probability of being an upset? Because I don't even think it's all that close.
Because I look at the Titans and Chiefs game, and looking at how the Chiefs came out against Houston, that's like, geez. And the Titans are a better team than Houston. I mean, Houston was living off of the talent of Deshaun Watson. I mean, Deshaun Watson
basically
carried that team many victories. The Titans are a much better team. The Chiefs can't play with fire with the Titans. If they come out the way they did against Houston, that has the potential to be an upset. But if they come in tune from that second quarter on, if that's the same team, the second quarter to the fourth that we saw against Houston, the Titans have no chance. Packers and 49ers. I think that has the potential to be a blowout, just reading that on paper.
Like it was last time. It was like 41-8 earlier this year, whatever
right.
It was, yeah.
The Packers, to me, they aren't a team. I mean, we saw it against Seattle last weekend, Jack. I mean, that's a team that had a commanding lead going into the fourth quarter. Then they just let up. You know, that offense, Aaron Rodgers needs more help. And I'll expound more upon this after the first break. But that's where my head is with it. What do you think? So you think the 49ers and Packers has the potential to be the blowout game?
Correct. I actually think the Titans are pretty live this weekend. I don't think they're going to win. But let's put it this way. You know, I don't think they're going to be able to stop the Chiefs' offense, but are the Chiefs going to be able to stop the run, be able to stop Derrick Henry? Absolutely not.
Exactly.
So, you know, I think it has a chance to be a shootout where the Chiefs are airing it out and the Titans are pounding the rock and neither team's going to be able to stop the other.
I totally hear you on that. And, you know, we were talking about Derrick Henry in the in the barbershop this morning, man. Who was it who he made become a blocker for him on the Ravens?
Earl Thomas said during the week that the Patriots didn't really seem like they wanted to tackle Derrick Henry, and it'll be easier for the Ravens that week. And then, that happened.
That was an amazing play. I mean, Derrick Henry is just shoving Earl Thomas like he's nothing and turns him around and actually makes him kind of like block for him. Like, hey, you lead the way now. That was hilarious. So we'll take your thoughts and predictions on NFL Conference Championship Weekend. Definitely want to hear from you guys. But, hey, Michigan State men's basketball in action tonight against the Wisconsin Badgers. And, you know, Wisconsin is not a team that you can overlook. And this is a team that is dangerous, without a doubt. And this is a win that Michigan State certainly needs, coming off that 71-42. Isn't that amazing? You know, that Michigan State offense only scoring 42 points in that blowout loss on Sunday on the road against Purdue. That was the Spartans' worst loss since losing to those pesky Wolverines of Michigan in February of 2017, in which that was an 86-57 final. And the 42-point production for Michigan State, That was the fewest amount of points since a 42-41 loss. Talk about a defensive game, right? At Illinois back in January, late January of 2012. But, you know, Izzo, Tom Izzo, head coach of the Spartans, he was he always is, very blunt, very honest, very forward in his assessment after that game, saying that it was the most embarrassing loss. And I think, Jack, he was a prisoner of the moment when he made this statement, but he said it was the most embarrassing loss that he's ever suffered. I mean, come on, Tom has been coaching a long, long time, and I can bring up many more embarrassing losses than that one. You know, it's still in the preliminary stages of the Big Ten season. Let's not overreact here a bit. But I totally understood where Izzo was coming from. Also, I have not addressed this, Jack. It just popped in my mind. It's like the higher power said, Al, don't forget this. I forgot to address it earlier this week. I posted that video that showed the interaction between Tom Izzo and Dwayne Stevens. Got a lot of traction. It shows you that you guys just love drama. When I tweet regular positive vibe stuff, nobody retweets it or watches it. Everybody loves the drama. When I post that video, it's got like 10,000 views on my Twitter page right now. But I posted that interaction. Everybody saw it. A lot of people weighed in. And, you know, for the most part, you guys got it. I mean, I haven't, throughout my years as a student here at Michigan State and then becoming a reporter and covering Tom Izzo and knowing him firsthand, I have not, Jack, seen a game in which Izzo has had a back and forth like he did with Dwayne Stevens on Sunday. I have never seen an interaction between Izzo live in the game I'm talking about here. Like what we saw on Sunday. I mean, you saw Izzo was not happy with something. He goes to Dwayne Stevens, kind of wags his finger. And if I'm Dwayne, look, man, you're not just going to wave your finger in my face. I totally understand where Dwayne is coming from. So Dwayne gets up, goes back at Izzo, and they're having this back and forth. Izzo kind of like brushes him off and kind of like throws his hand and says, all right, whatever. Dwayne continues to talk. Tom sits down in the huddle. Dwayne hit another button, I guess. Tom didn't like that button he pushed. He got up, and then they have this exchange, and Izzo's pointing the finger back at him, and Dwayne's going back at him, and then they both cool off a little bit. Don't read too much into that.
I don't have any issue with it, really.
No
because
issue, right, at all, Jack. This happens. It's Tom Izzo. Tom Izzo is a fiery individual. I mean, we were talking last year about how that story blew up between the interaction it was caught on camera between him and Aaron Henry. Tom Izzo is a fiery old school coach. If you are not getting the job done, he doesn't care if you are a player or a longtime assistant. And they're like brothers, him and Dwayne Stevens.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Brothers fight. All right, this happens. It just happened to be caught on camera on Sunday. All right, don't read too much into that. Because people were sitting there saying, oh my gosh, how could Izzo just go at Dwayne? Shout out to Dwayne for not backing down. This happens, all right? So please, don't read too much into that.
No, you summed it up perfectly. Brothers fight. And the other thing is, too, isn't it pretty encouraging that Dwayne Stevens is not a yes man? He's someone that's not afraid to let his opinion be known to Tom Izzo, which shouldn't surprise anyone, obviously. They've been working together for, like, a decade, right? So
right. Shouldn't
surprise anyone. But, no, I think, you know, both guys will come out of it stronger, as I'm sure this isn't close to the first time this has happened. But like you said, it's probably one of the first times it's been caught on camera like this. So, mm-hmm. No, I read absolutely nothing into it, and I would have the trust of both guys if I'm a Michigan State fan.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. And, you know, for Izzo, Izzo likes when members of his coaching staff or his players, he's gone on record to say this. I like when I'm challenged a bit, all right, because it makes me a better coach. Sometimes I need to be challenged to see a different perspective, to see it from a different lens that I may not be viewing it. So don't read too much into that. All right, back to your regular scheduled programming here. As Michigan State, again, takes on Wisconsin, you know, in hindsight is 2020. Izzo went on record to say, quote, I'm trying to keep it all in perspective of where we are. And you know a loss is a loss, whether it's a one-point loss or a 25-point loss. But I did not like the way we played. I felt like we just didn't do the things that you need to do in order to win on the road. And then our youth is starting to show. Look, man, it is so tough to win on the road in the Big Ten Conference this year. You know, I don't know how many times I've mentioned the staggering win-loss record for teams who are trying to win on the road in the Big Ten Conference. That's why I've said, you know, in order for Michigan State to take that next step, there's a few things that have to happen. We have to see Michigan State play in its usual dominant fashion that we've seen many times this year, not just in the Breslin Center, but on the road. That's the true test of a team for me. I mean, when it comes to March Madness and the Big Ten tournament, you are going to be away from the Izzone and the Breslin Center. The Izzone gives you like an ejection right into your veins. It does something to you. You know, you're playing in front of the home crowd and the home fans. Michigan State is just a different team at home. Many teams are different at home. They're better at home. That's just the reality of it. But can you do what you do on an average night at the Breslin Center on the road, especially in a hostile environment like Mackey Arena? I've been saying this for I don't know how long. But, Jack, the magic key for me, I'm not letting this young man off the hook until I see something from him, because I know that he has so much potential. You already know where I'm going. But Aaron Henry has got to get out of this funk. He is pressing too much. That is the magic key. If Michigan State can get a good 10 points from him, that's all. Just give me some double-digit point scoring from Aaron Henry, this team will turn a corner, in my opinion.
And you know what? In all fairness to Henry, the last few games prior to the Purdue game, I would say he had turned a corner. He was good for 8.7 boards, you know, 9 points, 8 boards. He was helping on the glass, and he was chipping in a little bit offensively before he ran into the buzzsaw that was Purdue that, you know, basically every player on the team ran into. So I agree with you. They need more out of Aaron Henry, but at the same time, he has been much better as of late than he was, you know, November and early December.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I still want to see more consistency from him. But he's the magic key for me. And because I also believe that teams, I was talking with Brad Walker about this one Monday, our very own Brad Walker. Jack, I don't understand for the life of me why teams in the Big Ten or any opposing matchup that Michigan State plays, why they don't key in on Cassius the way that Purdue did on Sunday. I mean, it's obvious. I've always said when it comes to Michigan State basketball, if you cut off the head, the body is probably going to die. That head is Cassius Winston. When he has a bad game, it is an immense trickle-down effect. It's like your facilitating goes away. It's like you're searching for who that second scorer is going to be. More than likely, that's X-Man. That's Xavier Tillman. But Cassius does so many different things while on the basketball court that when he is not having a good game, Michigan State doesn't have a good game. So I don't know why teams just don't key in on Cassius. Double team him and make somebody else beat you. Prove. And I think that will help Michigan State grow, to be honest with you, because you don't have the safety net that is Cassius Winston.
The problem with that take is you make it sound like it's really, really easy to contain Cassius Winston when, if we're being honest, he might be the best basketball player in America.
You got to double him.
Well, okay, but
I have not seen any team other than Purdue at times on Sunday when I was watching that broadcast on CBS. They threw an extra man at him. I have not seen a double on Cassius other than the Purdue game at all this season.
Sure, but the high ball screen action Michigan State uses anyway, isn't that good to get rid of at least one defender anytime? I mean, look at how they've attacked Xavier Simpson the last, what is it, four matchups since Cassius couldn't beat him his sophomore season. Is the ball screen activity get Xavier rolling to the hoop and basically get rid of Cassius's defender? The stuff Michigan State does with screens, I don't think it's exactly that easy to just put two guys on Cassius and completely contain him.
It depends how big they are as well, though, because Purdue is a big team.
They're sure, yeah, that's a luxury a lot of teams don't have, too, though, is big guards.
Definitely. So, but I just want to see. I don't get that. I would at least try it at some point in the game, especially when he starts going off on you and gets into that zone where the basket looks like, you know, Lake Michigan. I don't understand why teams just don't throw an extra body on him, but that's just me. I'm not a coach.
All right.
I'm sitting behind the mic.
I mean, I don't disagree with that, but again, I feel like you're making that sound like it's a lot easier than it actually is.
I hear you, but at least try it. That's what I'm saying. I haven't even seen teams try it. They just, all right, just keep guarding him one-on-one. He's got to miss some time. Like, I mean, come on. Wait, let's wake up here. So right now, Cassius is leading the Spartans at 18.8 points per game, 6.2 assists per game. But man, Michigan State was bad taking care of the basketball on Sunday. Winston committed 9 of Michigan State's 18 turnovers. Cassius just had 10 points, 4 for 13 shooting with 5 assists. And Xavier Tillman was 4 of 10 for 8 points, 8 boards, 2 turnovers. So Tillman right now is right behind Cassius and leading this team at 13.9 points per game and a team high 10.1 rebounds per game. So he is averaging a double-double. So, you know, when it comes to Wisconsin right now, the Badgers 11-6, 4-2 in the conference. They have won six of their last 7 games. That's including their last 3, which were against ranked opponents.
Their last two.
Was that?
Their last two, not their last 3.
You sure?
Yeah, they've beaten, I'm looking at it right now, they've beaten Maryland at home, and they've beaten Penn State, and then they lost at home against Illinois before that.
Oh, did they?
Okay. Yep, so that's my parents' alma mater. That's the only team that's handed them a loss in their last 7 games.
And, you know, did you watch Tuesday's 56-54 win over number 17 Maryland?
Bits and pieces. I went to the gym, but yeah, I saw part of it, yeah.
Heck of a game.
Great play at the end by Brad Davison, too, to knock it off of the Maryland player.
That he forced a deflection off of that inbounds pass, and that went for a change of possession, and then hitting the game-winning three-pointer in the closing seconds, that was big. Wisconsin is a dangerous team anytime you play them. They have a toughness about them, and that is something that was also absent from Michigan State's performance on Sunday as well. They lacked toughness, which is something that you don't normally hear about when discussing Michigan State basketball.
So, including this year. It's been uncharacteristic of this season's team as well.
Right, exactly. I don't know what Sunday was. Hopefully it was just an anomaly, and Michigan State gets back on track tonight. Junior forward, Nate Rivers, he's averaging 13.9 points per game, 5 rebounds. Kobe King, I love that name, Kobe King. Fitting for a baller, right? 10.7 points per game. He's a factor as well. And right now, Wisconsin is in a 3-way tie for 2nd place in the Big Ten Conference with Rutgers and Illinois. Watch out for Rutgers, too. That's a really good basketball team, I believe, as well.
You know, they're like a lot of the Rutgers teams we've seen the last couple of years, except now they're more talented. They're scrappy, and they're not fun to play at all. Mm-hmm. And the game is oftentimes low scoring, like the one Michigan State had against them like 2 seasons ago that went to overtime at the Breslin.
Yeah.
Rutgers is not a fun team to play, and all of a sudden they're a lot more talented, it seems like.
Certainly. I agree with that. Prediction. I'm going to go Michigan State here, winning in a tight one. This is going to be a close game. I'm going to go Michigan State 64. Wisconsin 60. My player of the game tonight, I think he picks up where he left off. He was really the lone bright spot for me on Sunday, but Mark Rocket Watts has a 10-point outing tonight. That's my bold prediction for tonight.
64. Jeez, I hope not.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll say Michigan State by, we'll say 13. I'll say 74-61.
Okay.
Best player. I mean, I agree with you that Rocket was really the only player that I was impressed with last week. He was the only player that I watched him, and I said to myself, I like what I'm seeing here. We'll say Gabe Brown, just because he shot the ball so poorly and didn't get a whole lot of opportunities against Purdue. He seems to be way more comfortable at the Breslin, so I guess that's my pick.
The Energizer Bunny that is Gabe Brown. He was not the Energizer Bunny on Sunday. That was uncharacteristic of him for sure. So that's a safe pick. That's a good safe pick.
He'll be in the 10 to 12 point range tonight, I'll say.
Okay.
Probably like 2 of 4 from 3.
All right. What say you? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Facebook.com/WKARnews is where you can weigh in on our Facebook live stream and tweet us. Tweet the show. At WKAR News, tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. When we come back, we'll talk, we'll further elaborate on our NFL Conference Championship weekend predictions. That and more, you are listening to the Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports.
Oh, doesn't need his name up in lights. He just wants to be heard, whether it's the beat or the mic. He feels so unlike everybody else, alone, in spite of the fact that some people still think that they know. But he knows the code. It's not about the salary. It's all about reality and making some noise, making a story, making sure his click stays up.
Oh, I love that track. Shout out to Jack Kerwin. Remember the name. Fort Minor, right? Fort Minor. I remember when that joint came out. That used to be like my workout anthem back in the day, dude. You're reaching for that one, man. What year was that? You know what year that came out?
Okay. So the guy who raps it was the Linkin Park guy, wasn't he? So
no,
I'll say.
I don't believe so.
Are you sure about
May
that?
He rest in peace. But no, I don't. I forget his name, too. I was a big Linkin Park guy, believe it or not, back in the day, too, back in high school.
No, he is. It's the same guy.
Is it the,
yeah, it's
the
same
guy?
Mike Shinoda, yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah,
are
he's
you
got
serious?
The same voice as the guy who raps for Linkin Park.
He does.
He's got the
I'm
same
like,
voice.
He left Linkin Park and formed a group called Fort Minor?
See, I don't know. Okay, so it was a hip-hop side project of Mike Shinoda, who is better known as the rhythm guitarist, keyboardist, producer, and lead vocalist of Linkin Park. Because this is the only song I know by Fort Minor.
Yeah, that, preach on, brother.
So, okay, so when did that Oh, well, I'm looking at it now. So I would have been off by a little bit. Well, I guess not. I would have said it was about 10 years old, so I guess I would have said like 2008. I guess it came out in 2010. So, yeah.
2010, okay.
Yeah, so close to 10 years ago.
That was like, I mean, you would hear that, you know, when you hear certain songs going into commercials during sporting events, that was a pretty popular song.
You know, the other one, too, was Hard Knocks a couple of years ago. It was J.J. Watt's song in his gym in Wisconsin.
What?
Yeah,
really?
there was a scene of him like rapping along to it while he was flipping a 1,000-pound tire. It was pretty awesome.
Talk about beast mode. That's awesome.
I was a big J.J. Watt guy back in the day.
Oh, well, J.J. is that guy.
Yeah, he's awesome.
When I watched him on Hard Knocks and saw his work ethic, you know, there's that famous montage of him staying after practice into the wee hours of the night just catching footballs, and I think he was flipping tires as well. So I love that scene from Hard Knocks. So a few predictions coming in on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. Ben predicts that Michigan State will just absolutely mollywop Wisconsin tonight. 75-50 is his prediction of tonight's game.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, let's hope that happens, right? Chris predicts that Michigan State will beat Wisconsin by 10 points, 73-63. And then Mike goes at Ben's prediction and says, Ben, you're such an optimist. Michigan State 71, Wisconsin 66. So, and then you got James. James is like the notorious Tom Izzo hater on our Facebook page. He does not root for Tom Izzo and the Michigan State men's basketball team because he believes that they have tremendously underachieved and not won a national championship when they've had some pretty good talented teams in these past recent years, dating back to Miles Bridges when he came back and announced that at the Spartan statue. So James comments and says, I don't watch Michigan State men. I watch Michigan State women. The men, I have no faith in them. So there's James for you. Then Vin comments back and says, then you aren't a true and loyal Spartan. I love the back and forth on our Facebook page. Call in. Would love to hear your voice. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. NFL Conference Championship weekend. You know, Jack, we've already let our predictions out the bag. 49ers and Chiefs is how I see it. That's how you see it as well. And you know, what I'm looking forward to, some other storylines here that I'm really looking forward to. We already mentioned Derrick Henry. I mean, Derrick Henry has been such an amazing piece of that Tennessee Titans team. You know, he has, and it's one of those things, too. I look back at some of the highlights of last weekend's NFL playoffs. And, you know, just imagine, though, if the Vikings, now I know the 49ers look really, really good right now, but if the Vikings had any kind of run game last weekend against San Francisco, that would have been a close game. Because I've always said when it comes to Kirk Cousins, he needs a run game. You cannot rely on just the arm of Kirk Cousins. So Dalvin Cook had been ripping it up. coming into that game against San Francisco, and it was just a blowout. But, you know, I think that the running backs, and I had a segment earlier this NFL season in which I highlighted how important running backs still are to a franchise. You know, a lot of people feel like, you know, you don't need a running back to be a high-caliber NFL team today because it's all about having a mobile quarterback who can zip it down the field, right?
Well, haven't these playoffs shown that it's not about having a mobile quarterback once again?
Yeah, I'm telling you. I mean, look at Lamar Jackson. He's sitting back at home. Now, Patrick Mahomes is, he's a guy who can put it on the ground and carry with his arm as well, but he hasn't done it much on the ground.
He's
mostly with his arm.
He's a pocket passer, kind of like Aaron Rodgers, who can make plays with his feet, but he's primarily a pocket passer. Yeah,
right, if needed. He's not like Lamar Jackson, let's just say that. I mean, Lamar Jackson can make throws with his arm, but the key in that game, like I've said, the key in that game when it came to Baltimore falling to Tennessee was the defensive scheme that was drawn up for that Titans defense. They did a great job of spying him throughout the game. They contained him on the edges, and they covered the middle of the field. Lamar Jackson loves throwing to the middle of the field. He was forced to throw to the sidelines last weekend, and he is not as accurate when he has to ride the sidelines with his receivers. That was big. That was big. That shout out, who is it? Vrabel, right?
Yeah, Coach Mike Vrabel. Yep.
For Tennessee, who's doing a great job out there. I didn't think Tennessee would be in this position, though, right now. I didn't think they were this good, Jack.
No, me neither. And you know what? Going back to Lamar, what we've seen from him, and he's going to win the MVP. He had an unbelievable season. The problem is he still needs to show teams that he can beat them with his arm alone, not with, you know, teams having to keep him honest where, you know, he might be able to run, but he's probably going to have to throw to beat you. When you get Lamar into like a 3rd-and-7, 3rd-and-10, he's not nearly as good as he needs to be. He's not accurate enough right now in year two, and I think that's why they got tripped up in the playoffs this year. So until Lamar improves as a passer, I don't see him having success in the playoffs. Now, with that being said, he's only in his second year in the league, and he's already going to win the MVP. He's got some time to improve as a passer, but until he does, I don't think the Vikings can go anywhere with him. You know, what he does works great in the regular season. In the playoffs, you got to be able to throw the ball to beat teams.
You have to. It is a must. There is a certain ceiling there, I believe, just like you are making. I believe the point you're making, Jack. So
right now there is, unless he improves as a passer.
Exactly.
Right, and that's where his ceiling could grow, and he could potentially be a Super Bowl quarterback.
Question, because I've heard many people debate this. Looking at what that Tennessee Titans defense was able to do to him up Lamar Jackson, has it changed your perception a lot concerning how good Lamar Jackson is going to be? Because let's be honest here. I mean, coming into that game against Tennessee, I mean, Lamar Jackson already is being talked about as, you know, a shoe-in for the Hall of Fame, and he's going to go on.
Oh, all right.
I heard this, man. Those are the conversations
too
that
early.
We're having about Lamar Jackson's career. I mean, he beat Michael Vick's rushing record.
Yeah, crushed it.
Shattered it with still, I believe, a couple games left in the
NFL
year.
Yeah, he sat out week 17, and he still beat him by 300 yards.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. So has it changed your perception a lot when it comes to Lamar?
Okay, so I guess we'll look at it this way. Is there a certain quarterbacks prior to these playoffs that I would have taken Lamar as my quarterback in favor? Like, I would have picked Lamar to be my quarterback in favor of other guys like Deshaun Watson, for example. Like, prior to these playoffs, if you would have told me you can either have Lamar Jackson or Deshaun Watson to build your team around, I would have said Lamar. You know, for me, that's definitely changed now. I think what Deshaun does is more sustainable, and he still is a good runner, but he's a much better passer. So I think that's how my perception of Lamar has changed. I still think he can be very good because, again, he's only in year two, but until I see him improve, there are probably other young quarterbacks that I would rather have than Lamar. Mm. You know, and
interesting.
Who else can I think of? Okay, here's a good question, and I heard Mike Valeni debate this a while ago. If you could take Lamar Jackson moving forward or Joe Burrow out of LSU, who would you take?
That's a really
isn't good it really question. Great? That's wow. A really great question.
And I feel like I need to sit down and just like map out, you know, what both of them do so well.
Yeah.
And then compare, because this is the thing too. I have constantly said, and Joe made it so hard after what he did on Monday night, smoking a cigar in the locker room. Like, yeah, I'm that
awesome
guy. He was awesome. on Monday night. He makes it so hard to argue against this, but I am still so hesitant when it comes to any rookie quarterback because they haven't played an NFL down.
Agreed.
We've seen so many busts come through who play that position. Now, granted, we have never seen a college quarterback have the type of year that Joe Burrow had last year, but still he's a college quarterback. I haven't seen him play an NFL game. It's a different level.
So would you still say, so would you rather have Lamar than Joe Burrow then? Is that what you're
right
saying?
Now,
or you're,
yeah.
Okay.
I sound crazy saying that. I know to some people. Like, so you, Al, are you, what? Somebody just got into an accident. Be safe out there with me saying that. After, Al, did you watch what Joe Burrow did on my, yeah, I watched it. I rained down his praises on Tuesday's Current Sports. I get it. But still, Lamar Jackson has proven himself in many different areas in this sophomore campaign of his and shut up a lot of critics who said that he's not an accurate passer. There's still a lot of question marks out there for him.
Okay, well, I mean,
your,
I think
this is your league MVP right now, Jack.
Yeah, I think that criticism's still fair that he's not an accurate passer. He's not accurate enough,
he
at
got
least.
He got tremendously
he did
better.
Get better.
And
yes, he did.
And he bulked up to his body as well. You seen his traps? I mean, this dude went... He
no, I don't look at shirtless pictures of Lamar Jackson.
I'm just saying. I analyze every aspect of the game, including if you put on muscle and to further, you know, make your NFL body ready every single Sunday, especially if you are a running mobile quarterback like Lamar Jackson. You got to put on some pounds and some muscle if you want to take that kind of punishment. And Lamar, sometimes I'm yelling at the TV like, slide, dude.
Yeah, he does need to slide more. Yeah.
Oh, I understand you want to be number one on SportsCenter that night, but, dude, I mean, let's make this career a long one. All right? Be smart.
Okay, so here's the point I was making with the Joe Burrow thing was that prior to these playoffs, I thought it was a great debate then, too, but I still said Lamar Jackson just because, you know, I don't think Lamar's going to have a 15-year career in the NFL just because of the way he plays, but I still thought that, you know, the season he had this year, the way he could build off of it was that I'll take 5 or 6 years of great Lamar because I think it could give me a better chance to win a Super Bowl just because he kind of keeps defenses off balance. Mm-hmm. Now, I think I would take Joe Burrow. I think it's close, but and I think you feel the same way. It seems like you do, is that it's very close, and you don't feel really strongly one way or the other. But I just think there's more security with Burrow that, you know, he's not a mobile quarterback first. He has ability to make plays with his feet, but I think now I would take Joe Burrow's passing ability, and I would take him as my quarterback moving forward over Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I'm going to have to revisit that next week. I need a weekend to think about that.
So that's how my perception of Lamar has changed. I still think he can be great, but he's got work to do in order to be great.
Right.
And there are certain guys I would take over him now.
And what you know, Alex says on our Facebook page, Joe Burrow would be a solid Sunday QB. His pocket presence looks very pro. And yeah, that's what's so impressive. When you look at this man, this young man, and you look at how he goes through his progressions, the tight spiral that he throws. You know, I think about that Jamar Chase touchdown where he throws him open. And then if need be, if nobody's open, he can get out and make things happen with his feet. He is a very polished quarterback.
Dude, I'll be honest with you.
I just need to see it on Sundays.
I'll be honest with you. I think he might be okay in Cincinnati. I think he's such a winner. I think he might be okay in Cincinnati. He might be able to turn that around.
We can tackle that next week. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll have Reflection Friday for you guys. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We have about 2 minutes left. I want to give a shout out to, you know, for my Reflection Friday, you know, where we reflect to close out the show on the week that has been here on WKAR's Current Sports. First off, I want to give a shout out to the students of Journalism 418, who we partner with on a semester-by-semester basis. You know, I've shouted out a few of them throughout the week here on Current Sports. And coming back from that break, we actually, Jack Kerwin, you just put her in the chair. She did a really smooth job of getting me back on the air after that second break. But Megan Landon, who is one of our production assistants and beat reporters, she handled that final break there. And Megan is a part of the fantastic partnership that we have with Professor Joanne Gerstner and the Journalism 418 class. They'll be providing content for us. They cover beats. They are real reporters. So I am looking forward to their content. And I talked with Megan before I took the airwaves, and she already has a Spartan connection. She's from South Dakota. Her brother played baseball for the Michigan State baseball team, and Megan will be covering outdoor sports for us. So, hey, I remembered all that. My memory's getting better. Usually it's horrible. So shout out to Megan. 1 minute left. Also, one more reflection, Jack. Sekou Doumbouya. It's all I got to say. This young man has been playing out of his mind, just 19 years old. My Detroit Pistons have some kind of future here with this dude. He scored an easy 24 points on Wednesday night as the Pistons beat the Boston Celtics. So I'm feeling good about Sekou. All right, so I'll see you tonight at the Michigan State and Wisconsin men's basketball game. Enjoy that, folks. Have a great and safe weekend. Snow expected throughout the day tomorrow. Much love to you all. And as always, be easy, people.